I think a real blessing that for what our mothers do for us. In Ephesians 6:2, it says, honor your father and mother. This is the first command, and it comes with a blessing of long life. And I think that's probably true. If our mothers hadn't been around, our lives would have been incredibly short. And so I think it's a good thing and also a godly thing to take a little bit of time to recognize the women who raised us and sacrificed so much for us. A lot of times, being a mother is a job with no recognition. Your little tiny baby can't possibly even comprehend all that goes into raising it up, especially in the first few months of life. Once they're old enough to comprehend, then they just aren't paying attention, right? And finally, at some point, maybe they get old enough to recognize and thank you. But it's largely a job done out of love and devotion and faithfulness to those you care about. And so we just want to thank you so much for what you do. Our scripture reading this morning was in Psalms 127. And really, as an introduction to our congregation, Psalm 127 I really like because it captures our way of thinking about how we should build a church. It says, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And really, that is what we believe as a congregation. Unless what we're doing is based on God's ideas and God's instructions, we are laboring in vain. And so as a group, we just simply try to take God's word and apply it to what we do. And that's how we worship. And if that is how you think God should be worshipped, then I would welcome you to make this your church home. That's also a scripture that we can apply to family. And in fact, when I think about teaching a lesson or a series on family, that concept, letting God build the house, unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord guards the city, you're laboring in vain, is such a significant one. Because you can have all the best intentions, all the best guides and books and all that stuff, but if you're not doing it God's way, you're missing something extremely valuable. And so that psalm, what it talks about is, one, do it God's way, and two, your family is a blessing from God. And so not only is the way we raise up our children, we're supposed to do it under God's instruction, within the attitudes and the directives that God has given us, but we also need to recognize that our family is a gift from God and treat them that way. And all of that sort of stews together in an example we see in our mothers. And so this morning what we're going to look at, Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10. And what Proverbs 31:10 talks about is a worthy woman. But really, the worthy woman is not intended to say specific things about what a worthy woman should do. Otherwise, if you wanted to be a worthy woman, you would have to go out and find a field and then buy it and then plant some sort of crop on it, and then you'd become a worthy woman, right? That's not what this is saying. It's not saying a worthy woman is supposed to spin flax and wool into yarn and then make it into clothing. That it's not meant to be a specific thing. It's meant to embody the types of things, the concepts of what a worthy and godly woman does. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at a worthy woman, and we're going to consider what types of things she does for her family, for her children, her husband, her community, and what that looks like. And the reason we're looking at that is because when we understand that, and that is a picture that is so easy to see and something we can all relate to. We can relate to our mothers. We can relate to the things our mothers have done. And the reason that's important is because when we look at the core values that God has said, build your house on these principles. This is the underpinning. It's illustrated largely in the actions that we can recognize in our own mothers and wives. And so it's a very clear picture, and hopefully when we leave, we'll look at our mothers and wives and appreciate them as an example of what God would have us to do. There's another side to this, and I think about this on Mother's Day. Never, ever, ever on Mother's Day would I preach a lesson on what mothers should do better. But I know what happens. You might read this worthy woman passage, and from a personal view, you might read that and say, man, I'm not making it. I got work to do. Don't even start. We're not here for that this morning. It's not important what you think about yourself, okay? What we're talking about this morning is how your family and your children, and most importantly, how God views you. And so that's what we're talking about. So when we read this passage, you may not measure up in your own eyes, but you are excelling in our eyes. And that's what we're talking about this morning. So just sit back and listen and realize that this is how your family sees you. This is how your family recognizes that hard work that you've done. And maybe it isn't always said, but it is what they see. So let's go ahead and get started. Open with me to Proverbs chapter 31. And we'll start reading in verse 10. This is Proverbs 10. That is not going to work out. Excuse me. Proverbs 31, start reading in verse 10. An excellent wife who can find? She is more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts her, and she will have no lack of gain. She does not harm, and she does him good and not harm all the days of her life. Where we start out looking at this worthy woman, it says she is more precious than jewels, and then it explains the first quality. It says she does good and not harm. Now this is I love this picture. It just kind of pictures a mother bending down, kissing her son. Maybe he fell and hurt himself. And sometimes this is what that love looks like of a mother. Other times, this is what the love of a mother looks like, right? Sometimes our mothers are very kind and gentle and sweet, but at other times they refuse to do us harm, even if it means sometimes being the bad guy, right? I can tell you that my wife many times has refused to do me harm by not accepting my bad ideas or my crazy things. Just this last week, I was talking about doing an exercise routine with her, and she's like, Steve, you know you're going to hurt yourself. And I was like, no, I won't. I'll be fine. She's like, you hurt yourself last time. If you do it again, you're going to hurt yourself again. She's like, if you hurt yourself, don't come complaining to me. Now, she was kind of she was just joking with me because she already knew I haven't made up my mind yet because of that. I haven't told her that yet, but at that time I was being pretty. But anyway, the point was, is she was doing me no harm. She was doing good to me. She was trying to prevent me from causing problems. And a lot of times that's what it's like being a mother. A lot of times you have to be the one who tell your kids, no, you can't have that treat. Or you have to go do your responsibilities before you have fun. And now if I have to tell you again, you're going to be in trouble. That's what a mother has to do. Well, why would you do that? Because she likes being cross and mean? No, not at all. It's because she refuses to do harm. And sometimes giving everything that someone wants is a harmful way of dealing with your family. And so it says that she will do no harm. But the thing about it is that communicates that concept that I am unwilling to hurt you. I'm going to do what's for your best good all the time. Because despite times where a mother might have to be cross, your husband always come back to you and they always seek comfort in you. There's in Acts 22 verse 19, in this passage, really touching to me because of this, I'll ask a question first. If you were talking to Jesus, what would you bring up to him? I've taught about this once, but if you're talking to Jesus, what would you bring up to him? I would ask him questions. I have things I would like to know. I have things I would like to tell him, ways I'd like to show my appreciation. You know what I would never want to talk to Jesus about? The worst ways I've sinned. That's not how, what I would want to say to Jesus. But look in Acts 22, verse 19. And this is Paul in a vision speaking to Jesus. And I said, Lord, they themselves know that in one synagogue after another, I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him. And he said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Paul said, when I was talking to Jesus, I was said to him, I persecuted your believers, one synagogue after another. And when righteous man Stephen was killed, I agreed with it. Would you ever want to tell Jesus something like that? I wouldn't. But the point is very clear that Paul had absolute confidence and trust in the love of Jesus. He knew when he was forgiven, Jesus was not going to hold that against him. He knew that Jesus would never do him harm. And so he could go to Jesus with absolute confidence. But it's the same way a mother is to her child, right? Doesn't matter what the child has done, what he can go to his mom. Doesn't matter what point in life. I know in my life, my mom believed in me when no one else should have. And so, because she loved me, and I had confidence in that. So the first, I have joy on this screen. It should be love. Anyway, so the first thing is, it's a mother's love. A mother loves in just a very special way, and we all can relate with that. The second one is joy. So in Proverbs 31, starting in verse 13, she seeks wool and flax, and with willing hands, She is like a ship of a merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises, yet it is night, and provides food for the household, portions for her maidens. So here what we see, and you're looking at this picture, and I know what you're thinking. That is not joy. You know, the thing is, I didn't want to use a picture of a diaper change or that sort of what Mel's at home with a sick kid. The reason I put dishes is for a good reason. But this translation, she is, in verse 13, she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. A literal translation of the Hebrew says, active with her hands pleasure. She's active doing what her hands want to do. And it will not always be the things that she wants to do. What do you mean by that? In Hebrews 12, verse 2, this is talking about Jesus on the cross. And what it says something about the joy and yet the hardship of the cross. In Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus went on the cross for the joy of saving his people. And yet, he did not like the job of being on the cross. That was not something he enjoyed. However, it was for the joy of the outcome. And that is how a mother works. She does a lot of things that she would not like to do, or would not have chosen to do if it wasn't necessary for the well-being of her family. And yet, she might not always feel good or be happy doing it in the moment, but she's always happy when she considers that this is the well-being of my family. She always puts the well-being of her family first. In verse 15, it says that she rises before the dark, before the light. No one likes to get up before the light. In fact, this morning at 4:30, Avery came down into our bedroom and said, Mama, I feel sick. And Melanie was up out of bed instantly. She rose before the light in order to take care of our little girl. Wasn't what Mel would have preferred to do. She probably would have preferred to sleep until the light, but she put the needs of Avery before herself. And she did it with joy, because that's what moms do. And so we see this. Is there's a joy in serving that mothers show us. And even though the particular moment may not be an enjoyable moment, the outcome is always to a mother's joy. And so we can see joy in a mother's service. Let's go and take a look at Proverbs 31, verse 16. She considers a field and buys it. With fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. Here we see a mom or a woman, and what she's going out and doing is buying a field, recognizing a profitable venture. I like this picture of a child in an apple orchard, because the idea of buying an apple orchard, and I talked about it, I used it this morning because it's on my mind, but an ancient Chinese proverb, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now. And that idea of planting a tree is a work of patience. Preparing, bringing fruit from the ground, you have to look at what is beyond what's in front of you, and you have to be patient to wait. And raising children is exactly the same way. You don't raise children so that they'll always be completely and utterly dependent on you, right? That's not the end goal that you look for. You have this little child, and it's totally dependent on its mother. For food, for cleanliness, for everything, it needs its mom. But she puts in work and effort and years of her life, because she sees the fruit that's going to be born at the end. She sees a profitable venture, and she keeps the lights up late. Patience. It takes patience to raise a child. And even every mother puts effort into raising her child. If they have a child, they raise them, right? And so this is something we see in a mother, is this patience, this looking far down the road and working towards building fruit and raising up fruit in that child, in that fertile field that she holds in her arms. And so a worthy woman seeks the potential in a thing and is willing to work for its development. She sees the potential in her child and develops it. She sees the potential in her husband and develops it. Mel, I am way better off as a person and as a husband, as a preacher, because of my wife. Everything I do, vocationally, whatever it is, my wife has improved. If I was on my own, I'd just be a mess. But Mel has seen some potential in me, and she's put in long hours in order to develop that in so many different ways. And I know that's how moms and wives are to all of us out there, all of us who rely on them. So they are an example of patience, of goodness and kindness. 31 verse 20. She opens her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her house are clothed in scarlet. She has made bed coverings for herself, and her clothing is fine linen and purple. This here, I like this saying. This is from Kyle and Delish. He says, she does not throw to him merely a gift from a distance, but above all, she gives it to him to experience her warm sympathy. This idea of opening her hand to it, it's not a matter of, here's something, and then walking away. This concept is the concept of engaging with someone. She sees someone in need, and she offers her hands. She opens both hands like, here, let me help you up. Let me help you along. Let me give it. I'm not just going to give of what I have. I'm going to give of myself, and I will help any way I know how. Isn't that describe what a mother does for us? That goodness and kindness, that seeing when we're in distress and sympathizing and offering whatever they can do. Whatever I can do, I'm at your service. And so that's an example we can follow, this warmth and goodness and kindness. And she does it in the community, but she also does it in her home. In the community, she offers her warmth and does what she can. In her house, she has confidence because she has made preparations. She's not worried if it's going to get cold out because she has made preparations. She has invested in the well-being of her family and stored up for a time and gathered the things that are needed. And so you have this collecting of good things and preparing for hard times. And so that's the goodness and kindness we see in this worthy woman. And so let's go ahead and take a look now in verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. A worthy woman's behavior reflects on her husband. And so let's take a look at this. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11, this is talking about qualifications for an elder. And one of the qualifications for an elder has to do with the wife. In 1 Timothy 3:11, it says, "Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things." In Proverbs it says that her husband is honored in the gates. That means people think highly of him. He has a status, and his wife has contributed to that. She hasn't undermined him. She hasn't spoke negatively about him. She hasn't gone out and spread rumors about other people. She doesn't have a reputation for being undermining or deceitful or harmful or those sorts of things, because she recognizes that the way I behave and the way I conduct myself reflects on my husband. And so she conducts herself in a reverent and faithful way. And in 1 Timothy 3:11 it says she's faithful in all things, which means she is godly minded. But in the same way, I mean, just as an application of this is, we all, in fact, I'll back up a little bit. In those days, a wife would consider her husband her lord. It just was the culture. And so he was her master, but she was faithful to her lord in that sense. But this worthy woman, these godly women, they are literally faithful to their Lord. We all take the name of Jesus. They take the name of Jesus, and they don't cause any reason for that name to be defamed. They conduct themselves in a faithful way. And so we see this faithfulness, this willingness to do what is proper and right and reflects good on others, and particularly in this case on her husband. In verse 24, "She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come." She opens, and she laughs at the time to come. I feel like I'm missing a slide here. So, this particular one is dealing with self-control. The last one is this self-control that she is prepared. She doesn't squander her time. She uses her time productively. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And so she's not defined by weakness and vice, by weakness and poor quality of character. She's defined by strength and dignity. And so she has self-control. She opens her mouth to speak wisdom, and the teachings of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. And so she looks well to the ways of her household. She makes sure everything's taken care of. It's the idea of making sure that the kids are fed and the animals are fed before you feed yourself, right? It's just she puts others and takes care of her responsibilities. And so she has self-control. All of these things are qualities that we can recognize in our mother. And I don't even have to make the case for it, I don't think. I think as I talk about it, we all are probably registering, yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that in my mom. I've seen that in my wife. I've seen that. Maybe in my grandma. And so verse 28 then, or excuse me, starting in verse 28, "Her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gate." A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And the reason why is because a woman who fears the Lord produces good fruit. Here's a couple of applications of this. We understand these things, but here's the point I want to make. The qualities that this worthy woman has are qualities that if each member of our family were striving after to have, our families would be solid, God-fearing families. We recognize it in our mother. We recognize it in the Lord, if we put it that way. And even Jesus taught about it. In Mark 10, 43 through 44, it says, "But it is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servants, and whoever wishes to be the first among you shall be slaves of all." Can't we see that applied in the work of a mother? She serves the most, and if you just take a surface illustration of that, how big of a deal is Mother's Day compared to how big a deal Father's Day is? Mother's Day is a big deal. Father's Day, just whatever, right? That's how I feel about it. I feel like, I could skip Father's Day, fine, but Mother's Day, no way. That's something I like because it takes an opportunity to honor my wife, to honor my mom, to honor many of you women out there who I see doing great things for their family. It's the same thing as the one who serves the most is the one who will be the greatest. And we see that that's the same way the kingdom of heaven is organized, and that's the same way our family should be organized, serving one another with selflessness. And finally, and this is really where some of these topics were based on, but Galatians 5:22, what does it say? The fruit of the Spirit. That means if you are reading your Bible and applying it to your life, this is the fruit it's going to produce. If you are reading your, if you are applying biblical principles to your, in your family, this is what it's going to produce. This is the underpinning for a successful family. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. These are the worthy woman personifies the qualities we all think of when we talk about how we appreciate our mothers. These are the underpinning qualities of a godly family. So as we talk about a godly family and what does a godly family look like, they're going to have these same qualities that the women that support those godly families have in their day-to-day life. Look at your mom. Learn to recognize that she's a God-fearing woman and the fruit that she produces. And try to copy that. Try to emulate that in your lives. If we want to have godly families, that is a way to get there. If you're here this morning and you have not been bearing the fruit of the Spirit, if you have not turned your life over to God, and you would like to, be right with God, whether you need to be take that first step and name His name and be baptized, or you need to take the step to reach out for repentance and restoration, if there's anything we can do for you, please come forward, and we will help you with that as we stand and sing the song of invitation.